Hi, this is Michael Orle from MobileBurn.com, and today I have with me the Motorola Charm for T-Mobile USA. It's an Android 2.1 powered QWERTY bar form factor smartphone, and it's available now for $74.99 with a 2-year contract.
So here's Motorola Charm. Nothing too surprising about the box. Let's open it up. Already have a SIM card in it, thanks to Motorola. Here's the Charm itself. It's a nice looking device. Feels very solid right off the bat. I'll take a look at that later. It's information how to register your Moto Blur account. A little sticker so you can place that somewhere safe, I guess. Start guide and warranty information, safety, legal information, that kind of stuff inside here. We don't need to go through that. Bonus extra capacity battery in box. I don't know what that means exactly, how it could be an extra capacity with the stock back on it, but we'll see. We've got it's like 3.5 millimeter headphones, earbuds, some extra foam covers, a clip. And there is a button inside so you can answer and end calls. USB to micro USB cable, which will of course work with this Motorola charger. Plugs in right here and goes into either your PC or just into that charger. You can plug it directly in. Oh, and here is the back and the extra battery that they mentioned. So you do get an extra battery and a different back that can take advantage of it. You can see it bulges out a little bit, so we'll take a little bit closer look at that later. So here's the Motorola Charm itself. Take a quick look at it. Keyboard, 4 full rows. Keys are severely domed, so you can really feel them. They're very well separated. They have a nice click on them. Spacebar, everything's in exactly where you would expect them to be. Dedicated arrow keys down at the bottom, OK button. Got menu, home and back. There's no dedicated search. Touch-sensitive button up here, but there is one down here right next to the space bar. And of course, we have the display, which is a QVGA resolution. On the left-hand edge of the device, volume control and a micro USB connector for power and data. The power and lock switch looks like probably a secondary microphone for noise cancellation or something like that. 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. Nothing on the right-hand edge of the phone. Lanyard loop fixing point here at the bottom, and the primary microphone right here at the bottom as well. You flip over the back, things get a little interesting. A bit of a, I don't know, chartreuse green color right there in the speaker area. This is the Backtrack. It is a touch-sensitive mouse pad kind of controller like you would see on a laptop or a notebook. Hasn't been well received so far on other devices like the Backflip, so we'll see how it works on this one. And of course, there is the camera. If you can get in there a little bit closer, you might be able to read that it says 3 megapixels. No flash, obviously, though. Pull it off the back so you can see what's going on there. Here's the standard battery. I think it's 1130 milliamp hours. It's a 2 gig micro SD card included. SIM card's already installed. Of course, here's the previously mentioned Backtrack and the camera. And if I pull out the battery here, you can compare it to the extended battery that they ship with the device. You can see this battery is much larger. It says it's a typical rating of 420 milliamp hours. Pretty large battery, especially for a device with a low-res display like this. So, of course, to make use of that, you need a new back. So that's where this extended back comes in. You can see the differences here, how a bit of a bulge there compared to the other one. So you can get that extra thick battery back there, which I think is a really good idea. So again, here's the two batteries. You can see a typical rating of 1420, and this one only has one rating, says 1130, although the initial specs specified 1170. So in any event, it should work out for about 5 hours of talk time on the standard battery, and you should get another hour out of the enhanced battery, so you get about 6 hours of talk time. And now that I've installed the extended battery, you can get a better look of the bulge that it adds on the back of the device. Totally going to be worth it for most people, I think. Extra battery life is always more important than size for most people, I think. So I've powered up and configured the charm so we can take a look at it. You can see it has 7 home screen panels. Little indicator up at the top as you move around. You can always press the home key to get back. If you press the home key again, it'll bring up the main menu. This is a scrollable list. There's nothing fancy going on here. QVGA resolution on this 2.8-inch diagonal display. It's a little bit cramped, but not horrible. Actually, what it lacks more than size is just resolution. You can see not too much going on here. All the fonts are quite large, and you can't really cram a lot of information into an already small display with this low of resolution. But still, it's pretty workable. It just doesn't have the best viewing angle. It's not the best quality display I've seen, but it is a rather inexpensive device considering you get it for $269.99 without a contract. So let's take a look at the main menu and see what we have in there. I've installed Advanced Task Killer just so you can see how much memory is in this thing. It's all that stuff running and it's still 214 meg free. You can clear up to 261 megabytes of application RAM. That's a lot of RAM for a little device like this, so I'm pretty impressed by that. Since it features the brand new Android 2.1 Moto Blur widgets, you can resize everything, which is really cool. Not all that useful when you've got such a low-res display. You don't have a lot of options of what you can actually pull off, but it is kind of cool that you can adjust it at all. Widgets for RSS feeds right here, and we've got Bluetooth, airplane mode, Wi-Fi, and the GPS. This new one down here, though, is the backtrack. That enables and disables this mouse pad-like controller on the back. I'll show you. I can use it here, moving my finger, and I can swipe back and forth and navigate. And instead of being a cursor control like it was on the backflip, you can see I'm using it to scroll instead. So it works a little bit differently than it did on the backflip. I don't find it to be useful at all, though. Anything you can do swiping on the back, you can swipe on the front too. So for my money, it's best just to turn that off and make sure you don't tap it by accident. So anyway, you've got the RSS feeds here. You can also see your calendar information, weather information, messages from, you know, SMS, email, social networks. You can see a bunch of Twitter things pulling in right now on the one widget right here. And that's a recent tweet I posted earlier. Again, more RSS feeds, music player. Let's see what else we've got in here in terms of widgets. Go to Add. Motorola widgets are separated from the built-in Android widgets. You can see we've got a lot of things to work with. We go into the main menu, go all the way to the end. You can see we've got the voice dialer, but it does more than just dialing. It can be used for commands as well.
Please wait. Say a command.
Send message. Jack Black Mobile.
Jack Black Mobile 1 addressing message.
So you can see it addressed the message to Jack Black, and then I can just start typing. I'm pretty pleased with the keyboard. It has a very nice feel. I like the way it works, and I'm a fan of this form factor. Yeah, I guess the BlackBerry form factor, you want to call it that. So I think it's long overdue. And you'll be pleased to know that you can also use a Bluetooth headset for voice commands. You just press the button on your Bluetooth headset and the voice command prompt comes right up. As with all recent Android 2.1 devices, you can add a bunch of different accounts from various services. This is a Moto Blur account. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Picasa for sending photos up, and of course a Gmail account. You can have multiple Gmail accounts, and you can use Gmail through the dedicated client, as well as with the regular email client, which also supports Exchange. With the Gmail client, though, you get different threading options and things like that. We've received a message on the charm, and you can tell by two ways, because the messaging widgets shows we have a new inbound text message. There's also the notification. You can just bring down the notification area, get a preview of it, and just tap on it to go into the threaded SMS system here. You can see it's colorful, easy to see who sent what. Works pretty well. If I jump into messaging, you'll see we've got a universal inbox as well as separate ones for different services or your email account as well. By going to the universal inbox, you can see private messages from Twitter as well as text messages, your email messages, everything all in one box, which is pretty convenient.